Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. It's a beautiful day out there, isn't it? Man, it's incredible this morning. Hey, I want to say thank you to all of you who helped out and volunteered with Community Fest yesterday. Heartland was well represented yesterday. I mean, incredibly well represented. And we met, absolutely. Give it up. And, you know, we love Winter Haven. We love our community, and it's a way that we can give back. And we met so many nice people. And if you're here today and you met us yesterday, thank you for coming today. We're excited that you're here. Hope that you'll, you know, come back and see us again, and you'll learn a little bit more about us. All those folks that are watching online this morning, want to say hello to you. We appreciate you joining in this morning, and hope that everybody enjoys our time together today. Well, we are have been in a sermon series for 3 weeks, a little mini series, if you will, over the last 3 weeks, and it's titled Everything. And we've been talking about how Jesus Christ is everything. And we're actually looking in a book of the Bible called Colossians, and it's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in a city called Colossa to help them, because he got wind from their pastor, a guy named Epaphras, sent Paul a letter or whatever to tell him and say, you know, we're having a little bit of problem in the church. It was a brand new church, and there were some false teachers coming into the church, and they were teaching things that were not Christian, and they were trying to merge their beliefs with Christian beliefs, and it was causing confusion in the church. Paul wrote this letter to help them out and to point these young Christians in the right direction. And in the section of the letter that we're in right now, it's all about Jesus. He took some time to tell them exactly who Jesus is and what Jesus is and why he's important and his significance in Christianity and the church and all of those kind of things. And the reason that he really focused on Christ in this section of the letter is because one of the beliefs that was filtering into the church was from a group of people known as Gnostics. Now, there were Gnostics that were pagans, and there was a pagan belief system called Gnosticism, and there were these Gnostics, but there were also people that were Jews that were Gnostics, and they did not believe that Jesus Christ was God, and they were coming into the church and teaching that. And so Paul is in telling people that. So Paul says, I know I'm going to straighten all that out, and I'm going to talk to you about Christ. So we've been in this section of this letter where Paul is talking about Christ and about who he is. And we titled the little series, we titled it Everything, and because it shows us in this passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ really is, for Christianity, everything. He is the center of everything. And because he is the center of everything, that we don't have to worry, everything's going to be all right. And so we've been talking about that. And so far, we've learned some good stuff. We've learned that Jesus Christ is God. Paul talks about how Jesus is God. He makes that clear and to those people back then and to you and me today. And then we learned last week how not only is he God, but because he is God, that he created everything that exists and he holds everything together by his power. And so we learn that. Now today, Paul moves from he's God to he's created everything and holds everything together. He moves to the church to talk specifically about the church. And he talks about how he relates, Jesus relates to the church. And we're going to be taking a look at that today. We're going to be today in Colossians chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Colossians chapter 1, the words will be up on the screen as well. Chapter 1, verse 18 through 19. Now let me read the passage. Paul says, and he, talking about Jesus, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for this passage where Paul talks about the church. God, where he explains to us just exactly how Jesus relates to the church and his role in the church and what it means for him to be part of the church. So God, as we talk about this today and we hear this, I pray that you'll help us to understand, that you'll open our ears and our hearts and our minds, and God, that we will walk out of this place today understanding just how important Jesus is to the church. And we're going to learn a lot of things about that. So just remove distractions, help us to get focused, and God, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for that. And if you agree with me this morning, say amen. All right. Well, this morning, we're going to take a look at this whole idea about Jesus and the church. And the first thing as we read this passage, there's a statement right up front Paul makes in the verse 18. He says, and he is the head of the body of the church. So the first thing that I want you to see this morning is that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And now, there are a lot of metaphors in the Bible that are used when we talk about the church. The church in the Bible, I jotted down a few. The church is called a family. Sometimes in the Bible, it's referred to as a family. Sometimes it's referred to as a kingdom. Sometimes it's referred to as a vineyard, a flock, a building, even a bride. I mean, there's a lot of ways to describe the church. But the most profound description is the one that's used here. And that is that the church is a body. The church is a body, and Christ is the head. Now, when Paul speaks about Christ being the head of the church, he's not speaking like we speak sometimes. You know, we say like, well, you know, we have this business, and this person is the head of that business. You know, they're the leader of the organization, if you will. Well, yes, Christ is the leader of the church, but Paul talks here, and the way we always understand the church scripturally is that the church is a living organism. So the church is a living, breathing organism. It's alive. It's just not a business, okay? And so, and then Christ is the head of that organism. He's the head. So we've got a body that functions, right? Just like we have a body. And then Christ is the head of that body. Now, when you consider that and you understand that and you think about, okay, we have a body, right? Body has a head. Well, there are relationships between the, well, hopefully, there's a relationship between your head and your body, okay? And there's a relationship between the head and the body. So I wrote some things down that I believe that helps us understand this better. One is the idea of life. I want you to think about life, just life in general. Think about this. The body, your body, if we're thinking about it in terms of a body, and think about the church being the body and Christ being the head, okay? The body cannot live apart from the head. And the head cannot live apart from the body. Both the head and the body are absolutely necessary for there to be life, right? So we see this idea of life. And think about it in terms of the church. Without Jesus Christ, the head of the body, the church can't exist. There is no church without Jesus Christ. The church can't be known. And then without the church, the body, the life of Christ on earth won't be known because the church shares that message of Jesus Christ. Now, all of that's like kind of theological and nature, but if you think about it from a very practical standpoint, from an application standpoint, it means this to you and me. If we see a body of people that, without Jesus as the head, then it's not a true church. Now, what does that mean? Well, there are movements in our culture today. We're a Christian church. We're an evangelical Christian church here at Heartland. And there are movements out there today. There is Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, even Judaism, all deny that Jesus Christ is God, that he is the Messiah. And so, according to what Paul is writing here, any group that denies that, if Jesus is not the head, then that group is not a church. They can't call themselves a church. They could call themselves a movement. That would be appropriate. But they're not a church because Jesus has been removed as the head. And in order for there to be a church, there has to be a body and a head. Jesus is the head. So it's important for you and me as we're sitting around our lunchroom tables at work or wherever you are, you're out in the community and you know, you're just talking to people out in the community and you get into some spiritual discussion, something about religious or something, religion or something like that. And all of a sudden, the person that you're talking to, all of a sudden Jesus isn't part of the equation. All of a sudden, no, Jesus isn't God or something. Well, then your red flag needs to go up right then to go, this is not Christianity we're talking about here. This is a cult, this is a movement, but this is some organization, but this is not Christianity. Because in Christianity, you can't have a church without Jesus as the head of the church. And that's the thing that you need to know and you need to understand. And hopefully that'll be helpful. If something comes up, your red flag will go up and you go, aha, we're having a different conversation here. We're talking about something different here. Colossians 1:17, we read this a couple weeks ago or last week. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, we find our purpose and our meaning and our significance in Jesus Christ. So when we consider this head-body relationship that I'm talking about, we need to consider this idea of life. And then there's also an idea of activity and its source. And I want you to see that, because you see, the body acts as the head leads. The head, think about this, our heads and our brains and our, up here, you know, it plans for the body. You know, our actions follow our thoughts. And so it's the same way in the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The church has to act in response to Jesus Christ. The church, we just can't as a church just decide, hey, it's kind of cool if we do this thing, or it'd be pretty cool if we did that thing. Oh, we can be nice to a lot of people if we did this, or we can help a lot of people if we did this. No, that it's great to do those things, but we have to follow the lead of Jesus. What did he say about that? Did Jesus say we should be doing this? Did he say to stay away from it? Would Jesus be pleased? Will we be bringing him glory if we do this thing? And so our activity and the source of our activity has to be the head of the body, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is supremely important in all of this. The idea of a life, the head and body can't function apart from each other. The idea of activity and its source, what we do as a body of believers, all has to follow what Christ leads us to do. So we're totally dependent on the head. What does he say we ought to be doing? Where does he say we ought to be going? What ministry should we be involved in? How does all that work? So, because he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And there's also an idea of control. And this kind of goes hand in hand with what I just talked about. But think about this. The body is controlled by the head, right? The body's controlled by the head. Now, occasionally when you have think about you and me. Occasionally our bodies don't listen to the head, right? And sometimes when the body doesn't react and respond to the head, there's illness or sickness or something goes haywire or crazy. Sometimes it's just because we're stupid, right? We just don't listen. So there's all kind of things, but there's control that is indicated here in this passage. I mean, there's some malfunction if the body's not following what the head says to do. The results aren't good, you know, and we can get into all kind of trouble. We start trying to do things under our own strength and we get in trouble. The results lead, if we do that in the church, if the church is not following Jesus and we just decide to do our own thing, then the church becomes a sick, anemic church. And we're not advancing the kingdom. We're not following the plan and purpose that God has for us, and we get into all kind of trouble when that happens. So it's important that we understand that Jesus is the head of the church. And that's the very first thing Paul says in verse 18. He says, and he is the head of the body. And so now hopefully we understand that a little bit better. But he goes on, he doesn't stop there. He says that he's also, listen to this, he's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He says he's the beginning. Now that word in the original language, it carries a twofold idea, this word beginning. It means one, it means the beginning in creative power. So when something first begins, when anything first begins, it's brought into being by some person or something greater than itself. And so Jesus was the person who gave birth to the church. Think about it. The church is the idea of Jesus' mind. He came up with the idea of the church. The church was his will, and it's his heart's desire to create the church. The church is the result of his love for all of us. And the church is the subject of his care. He takes care of the church. He makes sure that the church fulfills his purpose. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. It's his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want to stop here, and this is not in my notes. This is a side note, but I love this passage because it says the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. Listen, I want to just give you a little encouragement this morning, okay? I know right now the world's in chaos. Right now you turn your television sets on, and right now we're seeing all that stuff happen over in Europe, and we're seeing Ukraine be bombarded by Russia, and we're seeing all that. And I know that when you see world events like that, and then when you see the stuff going on, and you even see decisions that our own government makes and laws they make that are counter to Christianity, and I know that sometimes when you see that they vote this is okay and that's okay, and you see people just disregarding Christianity, and you see the world basically, I always say it this way, and I'm not cussing. You don't get all excited. Baptists get crazy about stuff like this. But the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Okay, it is. I mean, the world's in trouble. And we can see that, and sometimes we can get disillusioned, and we can get all disheartened, and we can get down in the dumps, and we can lose our joy, and we can think there's no hope, and we can worry about the future, we can worry about this. Well, the Bible says not to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough trouble of its own. Just take care of today, and you'll be all right. Because you know why the Bible says that? Because this is something that God has told you and me. It doesn't matter who's attacking who, and it doesn't matter what's going on and what laws are passed. None of that stuff matters for the church, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's not going to. Are you worried about the church of Jesus Christ? It's going to survive. The church is going to survive. There's always going to be a remnant. There's always going to be a group, and the church is going to survive regardless of what happens. So I want you to be encouraged by that this morning. That doesn't mean don't pray. You pray about the situations and circumstances going on, but don't lose hope, because God's still on the throne, still in control. And I have to remind myself about that sometimes. Or don't you? Do you ever have to remind yourself? Have you ever had one of those moments where you just walked away and go, either God's got to be on the throne or I'm about to hit somebody? You ever done that before? I'm not praying for you. I'm raising my hand. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. I mean, sometimes I feel like that. I know we all do sometimes. We feel like that. But listen, the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. That's something we can take to the bank, and I'm excited about that. Well, you know, another thing that it also means when he's talking about that, this whole idea about he's the beginning. I mean, it means he's also the first in time. And so Jesus was the first person of the church, the very first church member that ever existed. Jesus Christ was the first church member. He's first in time. And other people that come into the church follow Christ as we come into the church. So when Paul says that Jesus is the beginning of the church, there's profound significance for you and me in that. Because a person who does not follow Jesus Christ, the founder of the church, fails to really enter into the church. You can't be part of God's church unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't be. A person can sit in church every single week. They can be baptized in a church, join a church, but unless they follow Christ, regardless of what they do, they can never be part of the church. The only way we can be part of the church is by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. That's it. We can't do enough good stuff. We can't serve enough. We can't lead enough small groups. We can't serve enough at the mission. We can't help our community enough. We can't be at enough church services. We can't give enough in the offering plate. You can't do any of those things. None of that stuff. We have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And that's where it all starts. So Paul teaches us that Jesus is the head of the church. Church can't exist without him. There's got to be that life. And that he's the beginning of the church. Amen. He's the very first member of the church. We have to follow him and become one of his children in order to become a member of the church. And then we see that he's the firstborn from the dead. It says, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning. And then this statement, the firstborn from the dead. Now, this part of the verse is obviously speaking about Christ's resurrection, right? And it has everything to do with the church. Because think about it for a moment. When we say church as a Christian, it's all about Jesus. I mean, Jesus created the church. He's the head of the church. He's the life of the church. Everything's about Jesus. So if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, there would be no church. If the resurrection had not taken place, there would be no church. The church consists of those people who put their faith and their trust in Jesus. in his death, burial, and resurrection, in what he did on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, those people that put their faith in Jesus comprise the church. Now, when I say the church, I don't mean Heartland Church. I mean the church universal, Christians everywhere. But then there are local bodies of believers that are part of the church, which is what we are at Heartland. And so, but when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you become part of the universal church. Christians everywhere. You're brothers and sisters in Christ with people in Ukraine right now. Even Christians that are in Russia, Christians that are in Japan or wherever, China, you know, wherever they are, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're brothers and sisters with those people, the universal church. But if Christ hadn't risen from the dead, we wouldn't have that opportunity. And so if we don't embrace those things, if we don't put our faith and trust in Jesus, then we cannot be part of the church. That's the only way. Another thing is this: Christ's resurrection means there is new life available to those who are part of the church. When Jesus was raised from the dead, his body and life were entirely different than his former body and life. He was raised to live a new life, a resurrected life, and to live face to face with God forever, sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding on your behalf and my behalf for our sinfulness and the things we do that aren't pleasing to God. And so when we believe, we become part of the church, and we've been changed, and we've been raised to walk in a new life. It's like when we baptize someone, we always, the symbolic, you know, of your salvation and your experience with Christ, we always put them under the water and we say, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And that's raised to walk in a new life. We've been changed. You've been changed. If Christ lives in you and you've put your faith and trust in him, you've been changed. You've been given spiritual gifts to use to advance the kingdom and to serve in your local church and outside of the church. All of this because our verse says that he's the firstborn from the dead. And then the next thing he tells us is that in everything he might be preeminent. He's supreme in all things. Now, this is the cornerstone verse, if you will, of the nine verses we've been studying over the last 3 weeks. He goes back and he's making the point here that what we need to understand is that Jesus Christ is supreme. He's number one. He should be exalted, praised, glorified. We should give him our love and our attention, make him our priority. We should do all those things because he's supreme. He says it. He just says it, states it. He says, and he's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Why? That in everything he might be preeminent. And this is the heart of the passage. He's emphasizing the supremacy of Christ. Remember what was happening in the church. Remember those false teachers were in the church there at Colossae, and they were saying that Jesus wasn't God. They were saying that he was a lesser being, and they were teaching things like that. And Paul is saying right here, no, he is preeminent. He is supreme. He's number one. He's first. He's the priority. He's the one that should be exalted, the one that should be praised. He's the one that we should give all of our thanks to. He's the one that we should trust our lives to. He's the one that holds all things together. He's the one that created everything. He is preeminent. And that's what Paul was trying to get across to those people and to you and to me today. We can remember back in verse 16, remember this, it said, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, talking about Jesus, visible and invisible, whether thrones, and he just covers the gamut here, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, just in other words, everything, right? Just everything. All things were created through Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. He is preeminent. There's nothing greater than him. So, and we asked this question a couple weeks ago. If he's the one that created everything, he's the one that holds all things together, if he's the head of the church, if he's the only way we can get to heaven is through a personal relationship with him, then who should we be giving our praise to and our honor to and our thankfulness to? And who should we be exalting? And who should we make our priority? And who should we be concerned about following and learning what he's got to say and all those kind of, who? Jesus. That's who we should be paying attention to, because all things were created through him and for him. We should make him first place in our life. And then Paul gets to the last part of this, and he in verse 19, and he sums everything up. He sort of brings it all together now, brings it all to a close, and he says Jesus Christ is filled with all the fullness of God himself. Listen to what he says. He says, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. This is simply restating something we read back in verse 15. Basically, Paul is just simply coming to the end of this, and he's going, okay, guys, listen to me one more time. Jesus is God. This is what he's saying. Jesus Christ is God. He's explained how he's supreme in all things. He's explained how he created things and holds all things together. He's explained all those things. He started off, remember how he started? He started by saying, hang on, I know you got all these people in church and they're telling you something different, but let me just tell you the way it is. Jesus is God. And then he goes into his little sermon and he starts talking about, here's why, you know, and this. And then he gets to this verse and he says, let me wrap all this up one more time. Jesus is God. So he wants you and me to know this morning that Jesus Christ is God. He is not a lesser being. He is not some being that was created by God. He has existed from eternity past. He's the one that created everything and all that is. And he is the only way that we can get to heaven. He's the second member of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the Son, and he's existed from eternity past. And he is supreme in all things. So he's restating that in verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So now over these last 3 weeks, we've been talking about all this stuff. We've been talking about Jesus in a lot of detail. And we've taken a close look at his life. And so my prayer for you guys is this. You know what? Well, I hope that you just took away three simple things. I want you to know this morning that when you're having a conversation with someone, you know, when you're out there, like I said, at work or you're at the ball field or you're at the grocery store or wherever it is that you are, and you're engaged in some conversation with someone, I want you to be aware and I want your radar to go up, because there are false teachers today, just like there were back then. And I want you to know that when someone's talking about real spiritual things, and a lot of cults, they mask their language so that it sounds very Christian. But if you will just stop somebody, if you're not sure and you go, can you answer one question for me? Is Jesus Christ God? You'll find out real quick if it's a Christian organization that they belong to or they're functioning. Because if it's not about Jesus, you know, they can't tell you that Jesus is. They'll go, no, he's a prophet. Well, the moment that is said, you know that you need to be careful. Right? So you need to know Jesus Christ is God. I want you to understand that he created everything, and you know, that's my life verse, that he's before all things and in him all things hold together, Colossians 1:17. I want you to know that Jesus Christ holds all things together. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember this, because there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to face a difficulty. There's going to come a time in your life, or maybe in your marriage is going to come to a place and it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult and you don't know where to turn. I want you never to forget. I want you to remember this. I hope that you remember me standing on this stage and you go, I remember Pastor Ed said this, that Jesus holds all things together. You want your marriage to hold together? The answer is Jesus. Let me say that one more time. You want your marriage to hold together? The answer is Jesus. If both of you will get on the Jesus train, your marriage will be just fine. All right? You want your finances to hold together. You want things to work. You want to be able to do that. He holds your finances together. He's explained in his word how to handle all that stuff. You just go in there and check it out, right? You got a problem with one of your children. You want it all to hold together. He holds it all together. Don't ever forget that. You remember that, because I'm guaranteed that every person in this room and the people that are watching online, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to come a point in time in your life where you are going to just be at a place where you're going to say, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Oh, yeah. He holds all things together. You're going to need to do that. I've had to do it like 18 times this morning already. How about y'all? You had to do that? Some of you on the way to church this morning, you go, you know what? If he doesn't hold all things together, I'm fixing to take them out. All of them. I'm fixing to take them out right here. I'm telling you. I'm just throwing them out the window. Open the door. Push them. I mean, I can't take it anymore. Oh, he holds all things together, and it saved your life this morning. He holds all things together. And the third thing is this. Always remember that he's the head of the church. And let me just tell you something. I know I'm the pastor of this church, and I know I'm standing up here, but I want to tell you something. If you ever suspect for one moment that Jesus Christ is not the head of this church, or that message is not being proclaimed, Don't you wait 5 seconds. You come see me, you email me, you text me, you get on the phone and you let me know I sent something. Because we never want to go down that road. Right? Right? I'm going to hold you accountable. Are you going to hold me accountable? All right. That's all good. We all love each other, right? Well, some of you love me. Some of them you don't like me, but that's okay. If you go through life thinking everybody's going to like you, you got a big problem. So it's all, but I still love you, even if you don't like me. And I just, how much, you know how much I love you? I'm going to tell you exactly how much I love you. I want you to go to heaven. And I know that you can't get there unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know that some of you are sitting here today and that internally inside of you that God has spoken to you today and you know that you need this relationship. And maybe you didn't understand it before. Maybe you never understood the significance of Christ in all of this. Maybe you didn't understand his preeminence or his supremacy. Maybe you didn't get those things, but maybe you do now. And maybe today you feel God tugging at your heart. And you just know, I need this relationship. My life has got some issues and it needs to be better. And I think Jesus can help me and I know he can help me. And if that's you, I'm going to pray this morning, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer because it's not my prayer that helps you. It's your prayer to him. But just bow your head with me right now. And if you desire a relationship with Christ, just bow your heads and just pray with me right now. Just say, Jesus, you know me better than I know myself. And you know that I'm a sinner. And you know that sometimes I don't make good decisions and sometimes I mess up and you know that I sin. And so I'm telling you today, God, I'm sorry for that. And I'm asking you this morning to forgive me of my sins. And I'm asking you to save me. And in the best way that I understand, the best way I know right now, I'm committing my life to you. And I'm asking you to help me, to teach me, to put people in my path that can help me. And so I give my life to you. Thank you for saving me. In Christ's name, amen. If you made that decision today, in a few moments, we're going to sing a song. And when we stand up, I always invite you, if you're in the room, I invite you to make your, just when we stand up, to slide out and just sneak back to the back like you're going to leave. And there are people back there with t-shirts on and they say prayer and they've got lanyards on that say prayer. Those people just, they just are there. They're great hearts and they are part of our prayer ministry and they just want to talk to you and answer any questions that you might have. If you're confused, if you need more information before you pray like we just prayed, or maybe you did pray today and you need to know, well, where do I go from here? What's the next thing you're supposed to do? How am I supposed? They are the people to talk to and they can help you with that. And I would encourage you to go back and see them. If you're watching online this morning, you know, we have moderators that are online, people that are on there, hosts that are talking to you, and you just tell them you made a decision to follow Christ right where you are, and they can help you from where they are, right through the computer. They'll talk to you and tell you and talk to you about what to do next and all those kind of things. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower. Maybe you're a believer. You put your faith and trust in Christ a long time ago, but you really haven't been living like it. You know, he's not preeminent in your life. He's not number one in your life. He's not the priority of your life. You just kind of think about him once in a while, but he's not your life. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ today. And if you want to talk to someone, you can go back and they'll talk to you about that as well. Or perhaps, you know, we have these crosses on the walls and sometimes it's a little dim up here, dimly lit, and it's tough to see, but we have pieces of paper and you can go up and write a prayer request up there or a name or anything. And then you write it and you just pin it up on the cross, like sort of like nailing it to the cross. And then we take those down each week and we go into our staff meeting, we divvy them up and we read them out loud and we pray for every one of those things in our staff meeting. Maybe you need to put something on the cross, I don't know. But listen, Jesus is God and he's before all things and in him all things hold together and he's also head of the church. And Jesus is God who stepped out of earth and came to earth in the form of a man and died on a cross. And if you will put your faith and you'll put your trust in him, he will send his Holy Spirit to indwell you and he can help you get through the stuff of life. And he can make life so much better and make you part of his family. And when I say that I love all of you guys, I love you so much. I don't want to see any of you miss out on that. I want you to go to heaven. And I want to tell you that. And I want to shout that from the rooftop. So you do whatever God leads you to do this morning. So right now, stand as we sing, and you do whatever God leads you to do.